Right then, first of all, Liam, what's it feel like getting back to this very personal project and this second series on the back of a award-winning first series and a graphic novel?
It's good, mate. It's like, no, it's great. it's coming home, is what it is. And I didn't know if it was going to survive, actually. And we talked about that with all.
We did, yeah.
Because that didn't do as well as I hoped, and it really didn't make me any money at all. So, and much as it's easy to say, well, we don't do it for money, you still got to make a living.
You've got to pay the bills.
This is actually what we do for our job.
Yeah.
And it is how we survive. So it's okay saying that. But if I'm going to do it properly, then I need to take months out, and how the hell do you fund that? But then what happened after that was a lot of European publishers started picking it up. So I've got editions in German,
Italy.
Italian just came out.
Yeah.
Spanish. And obviously the English one too. So it's that was really good. And then I've also found that every con I do, people love it, and the book is still selling. And now we're going to do the softback collected edition. And I just thought, you know what? If I do another 100 pages, 4 issues,
yeah,
we've got another book there. We've got another. So book 2 is complete then, once it's together with all.
Yeah.
I just gave myself a month at the beginning of this year and had the best time. I was so happy going back to it. Well, there's a lot of stuff in it that is from short... It's kind of like pieces of work I've done that was unpublished or had very tiny print runs that was meant to be for a bigger job,
right?
And it became apparent that actually Starhenge wasn't a bigger job, so I was able to stick some of these older pieces of work into it, and they just slotted in beautifully, and they finally found their rightful home, which is great. So they'll get seen by more people. They did a couple of them featured in the bronze encore book that I did, and they just. They just worked perfectly, and it's like, of course, this is where they were always meant to be. So that helped. I already had a bunch of it done, it turned out.
Oh, that, right, okay, so that's why the month... Because I know how laborious it can be. I've seen the pages in your exhibition, so I can imagine you pore over every single page for hours and hours.
I do and I don't. I mean, the Starhenge stuff is much more experimental. It's meant... It's the most fun thing I do. So some of it is quite abstract, and also this third visit of this realm is all set in the metaverse, the dream space.
It is, yeah. So can I just say, I've been privileged to read the 4 issues, but that first issue really does have a very dreamlike tone. It really does.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing to read. You almost feel drawn into that sort of tortured, sort of can't quite grasp the vision state. So you've done really well both as a writer and as an artist on this one, I think.
Thank you, mate. I really enjoyed this one a hell of a lot. And I kind of, because it was a dream state kind of thing, I almost did a Mobius approach to it, whereas I don't know where this is going.
Oh, really?
Because it's subconscious stuff. So I was trying to, like, this is a world they've conjured, there's no rules to it. So the only thing I know for sure is that they are separate from each other, and they're in different environments that vaguely represent some aspect of their past.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Amber Weaver, for instance, she's outside of the city, and the city's not quite hers, but... when you dream, you know, it's like sometimes you find yourself in these familiar spaces that you've never really walked in, but you're still,
yeah,
like, I've dreamed this place before, and you know, every time you go back to it, you recognise it.
But this city's a connecting force,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, there's something about the city,
yeah,
that pulls them all together. And Merlin, again, you know, he's in that, so just can't remember who he is. None of them can remember who they are.
Tough. I wasn't sure if it was still going or not. It better had be.
It better had be.
It is. It is.
That's all right.
I was going to go on about the art style, because obviously I follow you on Facebook, and you do write at great lengths about how you're working in two different art spaces. The traditional pen and ink,
yeah.
As you're doing with Dark Ages, or you're doing with sort of Conan, but also this experimental digital, where I first saw you enter it on your Green Lantern run.
Yeah.
This is clearly a space you feel comfortable in, and a space where, as you said, you can experiment. And I mean, there's so many different art styles that are going into this one book. What influences are you drawing from other than your own?
Well, I think it's all, I mean, the pool of DNA that I draw from is quite consistent, increasingly as time goes on, I think, you know. The black and white stuff is all the old guys. It's your Frazettas and your Barry Smiths and your Bassinas and your Alfredo Alcala. Well, Dore via, well, it's really, it's the other way around. So it's like via Wrightson, via Franklin Booth
okay.
to Dore, you know.
Right.
Or through Alcala to Dore.
I get you, right,
so,
okay.
So it's, I found Dore through those guys, you know. So
interesting.
It's interesting.
I found Dore through King Arthur in Dante's Inferno.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Now,
but digitally, it's much more your Bill Sienkiewicz and your Dave McKean, although maybe not so. You know, there's some quite polished illustrators.
I can see a lot of other influences. I mean, again, yeah. There's those frame piece of art that sort of harken back to the kind of landscapes of the 19th century. I know that
right.
I've wrote about and seen in your work in the past.
Yeah. Well, the landscape painting in particular, I actually painted almost 20 years ago in Ireland on my father-in-law's land, outside. And we have that hanging in the
So these are actual oil paintings that appear
that's
in the...
That's an actual painting.
So I was going to ask, how did you do that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways you experiment with the digital frontier.
Yeah, so, some of these things have been sitting around or stuck on the wall or, you know, the poem is an old poem I wrote from Paradise Rex. The that abstract painting of the seven...
Yeah, that's really abstract.
That was actually a dream I had, and I woke up and I painted that painting. So it is literally from the dream
space.
Wow,
I just assumed it was one of those paintings that maybe was inspired by a very specific artist.
No, not really.
Wow.
I woke up with a dream. So, and the poem that describes it, the silent walk of the seven men, is literally the dream that I had. And this mad idea that they're walking past the seven cedars, and they take their socks off, put their shoes on, and their socks over the shoes to walk silently.
Yeah.
And that was the silent walk.
I also like, particularly in the first issue, the story within the story, where right. Amber sort of goes into this third story that's clearly fantasy, mixed with a bit of leather and dominatrix looking. Again, it suits the book, and it kind of gives us that fantasy world along with the sci-fi world that I know comes later on, that you're sort of like building this whole saga on.
Well,
the past, present and the future,
I suppose.
When you
look at Amber's past, it's clear that she's a Brighton girl, and she's obviously had a bit of a goth influence on her, you know, and there's probably a suggestion there that she had an idealised vision of herself as when she was younger.
Right,
that was a bit gothy and a bit sexy, and, you know, that's not her. Like, we all have idealised versions of ourselves that we're nothing like.
Well, I did notice a familiar face in that first issue.
Well, yeah. Looking slightly harried.
I thought, hold on a minute, who's that fella? I mean, that must be fun to sort of take references of yourself and you know, for want of a better phrase, sort of putting yourself in the picture.
Well, of course. But, you know, Amber is... I channel myself through Amber, absolutely.
Right, yeah.
So,
and I don't know how much people are meant to know about the Stranger because obviously we've got like three characters introduced in this first issue. They're not the only characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we've got Amber the Stranger.
Don't want to give too much.
No, of course not.
The Stranger's different in every one of the stories as well. And that does all come together at the end.
Oh, I know it does. Yeah. It's brilliant. I'm not even going to go down what influences from King Arthur are using this time, because it would give it away. But I'm very happy you're using a very obscure reference that when I was at university, I had to tell my professor existed.
Right.
He didn't believe it, because in that particular version, that tale had been missed out. And it's still a version you can buy in the shops now. And that particular character still isn't in that version of the collected stories from a particular part of Britain. And that's about as much as I'm willing to say. We've also had, and it's only because they're sitting around the table now, some really, really great and varied variant cover artists. Some really great ones. I mean, I believe they're coming over to the table in a minute. But, you know, with Mike sitting over to your right, again, this must come back from a long-standing friendship in comics, when you come to choose who you want to work on your artwork, as well as having nice family connections as well.
Well, I mean, obviously I was going to ask Mike the first time round, but this time he just volunteered himself.
What, was that cheaper to buy him in than if he volunteers?
I'm stocking up the credit. I'm waiting for one for my own book and then asking Liam.
Well, just keep on
stocking it up.
Just keep on doing covers and get one of his Conan pages, because he's going to be buried with them.
Oh, wow.
Now look, I've mentioned Conan, so it'd be very silly of me not to mention how much it's meant for you to work on this. I was saying to Mike earlier, there's something about Conan that brings out the best in every artist that's worked on. Considering it's a guy in a loincloth, you wouldn't think it'd bring out the best, but, you know, career-defining work, I don't think that's underestimating what you're doing with Conan. Do you feel that as well?
Obviously, I wanted to do something that I felt was like a game. I don't think it's possible to, because you always fall short. And, you know, if you're judging yourself against literal legends, how can you? You can't be Barry Smith. You can't be Buscema. You can't. You can't. You know, the idea that you can do something that would even equal those guys seems like extremely remote. But you're going to put yourself as into the arena and try to get as close to that as you can. That's what I was aiming for. And I've been sort of chuffed to bits that the response has been extraordinary, and at least a handful of people have now got me in their sort of top tier of favourite all-time Conan guys. So I'm very happy with that. And obviously my profile is actually, weirdly, of all the books I've done, it's like it's almost been like another boost to my profile, which I didn't expect.
So it's bringing new fans, old and young,
it's definitely
to
new,
you.
New fans,
And have you met any of those at conventions like Lawless today or in other conventions?
Yeah, if you're particularly in Europe, Como, and the Italians are still waiting for the second one, the Tattered Wings story. It's not out yet, but they know about it and there's some anticipation. And yeah, it's been brilliant. But it's nice. I'm certainly seeing sort of on platforms like Facebook that there are quite a lot of people who are now getting my back catalogue. Who've only just found me and realising there's actually a big body of work.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That's a really good feeling, that's great. Because it's very hard to win. You know, we've kind of been used to a slowly diminishing audience over the last 20 years. It's very hard to feel that year on year it's growing, you know, because people, we're all getting up there and people die. Half my fans are older than I am.
I remember the first time I interviewed you in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And what stuck with me was this idea of like, I've only got so many more comics left in me.
Well, it's
Do
true.
You still feel that way?
No.
With the way you're going now at such a speed.
It's knackering.
I can imagine.
It's exhausting, you know, and I think we feel it. That's been something that, I'm not the only one who's saying that too. You do get to a point where you start to realise, actually, we've been relentlessly doing this for a long time and we don't really give ourselves a break. And, you know, a few of us are starting to go, actually, that's all right if we do. You know, it might be a good idea if we did. But you know, I'm still really, really hungry work-wise. I'm still very driven.
And with that drive and that hunger, where does, again, without giving it away, where does Starhenge go from here in an ideal world?
I really want it to be the place that I can have greater fun without constraining myself. You know, and if it isn't, if it's going to be the place that doesn't, it's not, I don't think it's ever going to be the kind of book that becomes like a fables, or not like fables, like what am I thinking of?
I know what you mean.
Books,
yeah,
that have gone on and become like massively epic. But I do think that it's very important for me to do it, because at least within myself, I definitely feel like there's an artist, if that makes sense. That's not working for hire. That's not wanting to always be working for a sort of corporate entity, but actually wants to explore myself, my writing, my art, my drawing, my painting as an artist without the constraints of that. So I really loved how this latest 4 series, it kind of opened it up a little bit.
Right.
It was almost by accident that I had created the three realms, the digital realm, the real world realm, which is also has got the time aspect, and then the dream space. And that seems like the perfect place to play in any of these, any of those realms of work is a perfect place to create, to play as an artist. It's like, it's a good sandpit. And also just getting, like, what's been really lovely is, like, Ben, who's also at the table, is a really good old mate of mine, and Matilda's here, of course, who did some of the books from, some of the story from early on.
She did, yeah.
Ben's, like, old friend of mine, also first guy ever to tattoo me, and going to the left half of my body, these are all Ben's tattoos.
Right, that's interesting.
And so it was nice to make, like, for us to do something together, because we've known each other again nearly 30 years. Matilda, his son, was Matilda's best mate when they were tiny. Wow. And they're still good friends. And, you know, for Ben to do covers for all four is fantastic.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, it's a local Derby affair as well.
Wow, nice. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got a lot of time, your hands in Derby without any electricity.
What's that now?
I suppose you've got a lot of time on your hands without any electricity in Derby. I've been there.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad, yeah.
It is a lovely part of the world.
Hot running water now.
I mean, welcome to the 20th century.
But Ben's really well known as a tattooist, as I consider him a master tattooist.
So. Actually, I want to ask Ben a question.
Go on.
So, I mean, obviously, you know the language of comics.
Yeah.
Was it hard to come in and translate that into a cover? Going from tattooing.
The fear from going from tattooing, when Liam asked me, it was just going to be the one. I do like a challenge, but with tattooing, there is so many rules and boundaries, and because skin is skin, it's not paper. And also I'm usually asked for something, whereas Liam was really easy. He said, here's the PDF, do what you want. At the time I was doing an album cover, and I was having a bit of a battle with the record company, you know, Suits, you know, the artist I know, the musician I know, and he loves my artwork, and there was two of us doing artwork. But it's always a battle with the Suits, the people that have no idea about it. And I think Jock was saying as much in the panel about it being, I'll chuck it around the office and see what people think. Don't fucking let them think about it. It's the same when you did artwork for a band. Don't let the band decide. You play fiddle, you play the drums, I'll do the fucking art. And that's, so there was a real fear being at the absolute bottom of the deck, because I'd seen, you know, what other various
covers had
been done. Oh my God! I've seen Mike's already.
That's a danger though, isn't it?
It's terrifying. But also, it unleashed something in me. The first one, I was very careful. I approached it like a tattoo. I assumed that Liam wanted something which was more tattoo-like.
Right,
so
yeah.
And then it grew a little bit. And then the second one was like therapy. It's bonkers, isn't it? And it was, weirdly, it was, I sent him another one. I sent him it was still mad, and Liam liked it. And then just for shits and giggles, I sent him the first thing that fell out of my head. And I said, I know, this was a bit mad. He goes, we like mad, we'll have that one. So it was really good. So it has, I think maybe the third and fourth are a little bit more comfortable for me. There's a sort of mechanical reaper looking one.
Okay.
And then there was one which I did with a book of Alphonse Mucha in front of me, really.
Wow.
And that's one of my loves, you know. And so I was able to just let myself go with that one. And again, I did that one twice. I approached it the wrong way. I first approached it as if I was doing a tattoo on a curved surface, so things are slightly exaggerated. Bigger nose, slightly heavier jaw. That was just a mistake. Bigger mouth. when I actually looked at it the next morning after I'd sent it to Liam, I was like, it's grotesque. It is a grotesque. I've approached this wrong. I've approached this like it's going on a surface which is moving. And so I said, scratch that. Don't do that. I'll do another one. But it was the same one, just a different approach. So yeah, it has been a real... I've loved it, but it's...
Something you do again?
100%, yeah. Yeah, it made me feel very free.
Oh, really?
Really,
well, I suppose,
free.
I mean, that must have something to do with... And I'll keep this short. I mean, that must have something to do with you having more control over this because it's a create-your-own subject.
Yeah, I just really like the idea of saying... here's the PDF, do whatever you want, you know.
What I mean is, it seems to me you're able to say, these are the people I want working on my variant covers.
If Mike Perkins says I want to do a cover, you don't say no.
No, you really don't, do you?
You're not an idiot. We had, obviously, Matilda, I wanted to do one, and Barry Kitson, he got in touch and said, I want to do one. And he's done two now, he's doing a third as well. The second one he's done is just stunning.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and the first one he did tons of beautiful, he did like thumbnails and colour rubs. And I was like, the third issue, he said, I want to do a cover again. I said, literally, it's 2 days, I don't think there's time. Because he'd done all these thumbnails and colour rubs and everything. I said, there's no way. And he did it. He did it and got it to me. I was blown away, and it's beautiful. But I just said, you don't need to do all of that. Just be free and just enjoy it and do something. Read the thing and see what you feel and be inspired. And that's, right. It's nice to be in a position to let people do that. Yeah. And again, like with Matilda, when I gave her the chance to do the first issue, she took a lovely top down. Oh, you have to ask her, she's right there.
Yeah, Matilda, so you're going to have to talk into this. What was your experience working with your old man?
Well, it's not the first time we've worked together, so it was nice.
He wasn't cracking the whip too much then.
not our first rodeo. So yeah, it was nice. Like,
but it must feel like really special,
yeah.
Because you know how much this means to your dad, and being part of that.
Do an extra good job.
Yeah. And what next for you then?
Well, I'm working on my second graphic novel.
What's that called?
So that's called, well, the first one will be out in a year and a half. That's called Bubblegum Coven. And then the second one is...
So I'll have to catch up with you in a year and a half time then. Well, don't worry, I know where you live now anyway. Right, one last question then.
All right, mate.
And when's the first issue out?
July the 1st.
And when's final order cut off?
I don't know yet.
It's usually 3 weeks before.
Is it? Right. Well, expect a review before then.
All right.
Liam and everyone else around the table, thank you for your time.